Today, our message is called Do Something New in Me, which was last week's title. So this is part two, all right? We've been studying the book of Acts. Acts is about how powerful the Holy Spirit is, okay? Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we looked last week. We saw there's power to be a witness, power to pray in tongues, power to prophesy, or exalting God, power to preach, power to heal the sick. These are all things that we saw. So I said, hey, well, let's pray for that kind of power. Do something new. If each of us prays that, I'm convinced good things will happen. So I don't have an expectation. I'm not going to tell you, pray specifically for whatever, healing or tongues or prophecy or whatever. Just pray, Lord, do something new in me. Does this apply to children? Christian and Kyrene, does this apply to you? Yeah, it does. You can say yes, it's good. I said, are your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Does it apply to Jerry? Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. So Jerry and I, when we nap, we'll get dreams from the Lord. You know what I mean? Now, the past week in our readings, we saw some selections that look at ways the Holy Spirit works within us. Okay? Romans 8, Galatians 5 is all about this battle between the flesh, our natural sinful nature, and the Spirit of God. Anybody have any struggles about sin or doing things you knew you shouldn't do this week? Yeah, it happens, right? So it's really good to read that. I remember one time I was struggling, can't remember what I was struggling with, but I was like, Lord, I've been a Christian for like over 40 years. Why am I still struggling with this? Why haven't I like outgrown this or conquered it? I read Galatians 5. The flesh sets itself against the Spirit. The Spirit against your... I'm like, as long as I'm alive, there's a battle. It doesn't go away. You get stronger. You overcome, but you never get to a point where there's no struggle. That doesn't exist this side of heaven. Let's look at Romans 8, 1 and 2. That was one of our readings. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Can we say amen to that? Amen. We love this passage. There's no condemnation, all right? The Holy Spirit makes that real to us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, you can hear that, but if you're not really believing it in your heart, you feel condemned. So intellectually, you're saying, okay, I'm okay, but in your heart, you're not. So the Holy Spirit wants to make it real. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the power of sin that's at work in you. So we have to believe that. So it's kind of like the law of gravity. This is an illustration I found helpful. Okay, so gravity, this microphone. If I just let the microphone drop, it's going to go down. Why? Law of gravity. But if I put my hand under it, okay, my hand and arm are stronger than the gravitational pull on the microphone. Or same with a plane. Sometimes I'm in a plane and I'm like, I can't believe this thing can fly. There's like three, you know, whatever. However many hundred people are on the plane, it weighs hundreds of tons, but when it goes fast enough, the air pressure on top is less than the air pressure underneath, and it starts lifting, the power of lift. And it lifts you up. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. But if we're not experiencing that, what should we do? We should pray. Say, Lord, do something new in me. Let me experience this. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. New Living says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I kind of like that. The joy is in God himself. God is a God of joy. So it's be in his joy. Hallelujah. Be in it. If we're lacking joy, then we're lacking the Holy Spirit working in us. So we want to pray for that. God makes it real to us. So on your outline, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would give us power from heaven. Next, the Holy Spirit in you is stronger than the power of sin. The Spirit gives you joy and makes God's love real to us. It makes it real. Hallelujah. Paul says the Holy Spirit's like a down payment of what heaven is like. So heaven is going to be glorious. Right? Joy, no more crying, no more tears, no more stress, no more all the stuff we put up with. So the Holy Spirit speaks that or ministers that to us. Praise God. All right. Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not eating but drinking, but what? Read it with me. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know what's going to happen, right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. We used to sing that song all the time. You just kind of dance around, you know what I mean? The Holy Spirit wants to loosen us up. As Americans, we're very, like, I mean, they think British are kind of like uptight and formal, but as Americans, we can be that way. As we're going to see as we look at some more things, the Holy Spirit comes in power and people change. Things happen. Dramatic things happen. Galatians 5, I'm not going to even read all that. We're familiar with it. The deeds of the flesh, you know, sexual immorality, witchcraft, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. If I'm having an outburst of anger, do I have to pray about if that's from the Lord or not? No, we know where it's from, right, Luke? It's like we know it's from our flesh. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, let's do read this together, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then he goes on to say, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that's something we actively work with the Holy Spirit. That's a lifelong process. But I like it. If I don't have patience, joy, love, I'm like, okay, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need to be controlled by your Spirit. I need that. Now, here's my question this morning. Is it okay to want more of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Wow, I don't even have to preach this morning. You guys are on it. For power, for a fresh encounter, for healing. Because sometimes people feel like, oh, it's selfish, or, oh, there's bigger problems in the world than me. No, this is what God says to us. Praise God for Evan's testimony this morning. You know, all these people prayed, and I said, oh, gosh, I'm feeling better. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at Elijah, the prophet. Okay, Elijah's this great prophet, right? What did he do? He raised a child from the dead. He prayed it wouldn't rain for 3 years. It didn't rain. He overthrew the prophets of Baal. He called down fire from heaven. And his like assistant or apprentice is Elisha. And when it's Elijah's time to be taken up to heaven, what does Elisha ask? He says, can I have a double portion of what you've got? Is that bold or what? You want a double, and it's almost like, you want a double portion of what I've got? And Elijah says, what you're asking for is a hard thing, but if you see me when I get taken up to heaven, you'll get it. And he kind of discourages, I got to go to Jericho. You don't need to come. No, I'm going with you. I got to go to Bethel. No, I'm going with you. I'm going to the Jordan. You don't need to come. No, I'm going with you. And he gets it. So I'm just like, God, I need that, right? I'm too content with where I'm at. And I honored, you know, Pastor Roberto this morning. One of the things he was preaching, constant theme is, if we want to see awakening, we will have to be desperate and we'll have to, like, step out in the Holy Spirit and we'll have to do things that feel risky and get us out of our comfort zone. But that's when God shows up. When I'm faced with something I can't handle or I'm asked to do something I feel I can't do, that's when God is magnified. So I need that. I like being comfortable. But I'm not going to give in to that. Hallelujah. So number four, it's absolutely okay to ask for more of the Spirit. Let's look at Moses in Numbers 11. God tells Moses, okay, appoint 70 elders so all the burden isn't on you. I'm going to take the spirit that's on you and put it on them. And so he does that, and all these men start prophesying. And lots of times when it says they prophesied, the spirit came on Saul and he prophesied, I think what that is people are exalting and praising God. If you look at Mary and Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, the Holy Spirit came on them. Okay, Mary conceived the Lord, because my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit exalts in God, my Savior. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. There's this exalting in God, and Zechariah says, God's brought salvation to us from all our enemies. He does go on to prophesy about his son. But there's this exaltation that I believe happens from the Holy Spirit. When we were at this prayer meeting two Friday nights ago at Pentecostal Tabernacle, and people are praying, people are exalting in God. I don't know how to describe it. It's like they're playing the worship music, and people are praying and crying out to God. There's a exalting that's taking place. It's from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Well, there were two guys who didn't go to the appointed place at the tent of meeting. They were still in the camp, and the Spirit came on them, and they're prophesying, and somebody goes, oh, they come up, Moses, Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And like Josh was like, Lord, stop them. And Moses goes, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all God's people were prophets. And he says, I wish that all God's people, that the Lord would put his spirit on all his people. Well, has that happened? Yeah, that's God's heart, and that's what Pentecost in the book of Acts is about. So the next point, God's heart on your outline has always been for his people to be filled with the Spirit. In the Old Testament, there's only a few people who were filled, and they had like a special purpose that God had for them. Now, it's for all people. I pour out my Spirit on all peoples. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now, when the 12 disciples heard Jesus talking that way, let's think for a minute, what were they hearing? Okay? Do you think they understood what Jesus was saying? Yes, I think they did, because they knew the Bible. So they're thinking, oh, the Holy Spirit came on Gideon, and he went from being afraid to having a mighty victory. The Holy Spirit came on Saul, and he became another person and prophesied with the prophets. The Holy Spirit came on King David, and he killed Goliath. So they understood what it meant to have the Holy Spirit. Samson, right? Our friend Dave Zeeley, some of you heard him preach last fall at our anniversary celebration. He goes, what do you think Samson looked like? And we're like, what did Samson look like? I mean, you're kind of thinking like bodybuilder, you know what I mean? And he's like, I think Samson looked like me. And Dave's, you know, he's very like, ordinary looking guy. He's kind of like, looks like me. Well, everybody marveled at Samson's strength. Right? So if he looked like Mr. Olympia with massive muscles, nobody would wonder where his strength came from. Are you getting that? It came from the Holy Spirit. So he may have been an ordinary looking guy. But they knew that. So I think they're like, whoa, Lord, really? That's going to happen to us? And it did. Now let's go to what did Jesus say about asking for more? John 7, 37 to 39. Jesus goes to the temple, the last day of the great feast, and it was Feast of Tabernacles, and they had a ceremony that's celebrating the harvest, and they had a ceremony where they poured out water, thanking God for the rain, without which there'd be no harvest. So he says, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. If anyone is thirsty, anyone is thirsty. Don't you love that? Do you think he wants us to be thirsty? Yes. Come to me, okay? So when we're thirsty, come to me, Jesus said, all right? All kinds of things can make us thirsty. The pressures of life, disappointment, feeling hopeless, struggling with sin, wanting others to be saved, and you keep praying for them, and you're praying for them. I remember when the Holy Spirit came upon me, I had a very dramatic experience. I was 18 years old. I had invited Jesus into my life at age 14. I was at college, and I came back to my hometown, and I was at a service, and I was thinking, I feel like I'm not very on fire for God. And I was disappointed in myself for my freshman fall at college. And then all of a sudden I had this realization that I was afraid of surrendering to God. Like, what if God told me to be a missionary? What if God told me to like go out on a street corner like some of those people do and like talk to people about Jesus? What if God told me to do something my parents didn't understand? And I didn't know what to do. I had no idea how to free myself from my fears. So I just said, Lord, here I am. I meant it when I invited Jesus into every part of my life. I don't want to be fearful, but I don't know what to do. And as I prayed that, I had this experience of, and I'd never heard about the Holy Spirit. My church didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. Something came over me that was powerful. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is happening to me? I didn't know anything about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I was a little scared, and I thought, well, this must be God, because I'm praying, right? So this has to be from the Lord. And this peace, and like the love of God just came over me, this awareness of his presence that I'd never felt before. So I was thirsty, right? And so God answered that. Maybe you're lacking joy. Maybe you're lacking an inability to worship or rejoice. You know, sometimes the first time I went to a charismatic church and everybody's lifting their hands, I was like, I can't do that. You know, and it's kind of like the first time you kind of get your arms up about halfway, maybe like, hey, praise the Lord, and then you're self-conscious. So the Holy Spirit had to change me from being self-conscious. God, it's more important to honor the Lord than it is for me to worry about what other people are thinking. God did that in me. This is a great story. A friend of mine, Mary, from Dartmouth Christian Fellowship days, she had a chronic kind of back problem. I was always praying for her, Lord, heal her. Please heal her. What, you know, why isn't she better yet? So she and her husband went to Australia for like a year. And she, I don't know if she wrote me or told me when they came back. They were at this charismatic church. It was very large. It had powerful worship. And she said there'd be days where literally every single person was dancing except her. And she kind of had this attitude like, I'm not going to dance. You know, I'm not going to fake it. You know, I don't, you know, if I don't feel that joy, I'm not going to do it. And then she said, she went to this service, and she said, I couldn't help myself. I started dancing. And I thought, praise God. So I put number 7, the Holy Spirit is often loud and rowdy. In Acts chapter 8, Peter and John come. People in Samaria have been baptized. They believe. They're laying hands on them. It says they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Simon the sorcerer saw that they were receiving the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say what was happening. He said, oh, here, can I buy this ability from you? So when I lay hands on people, and Peter's like, may you perish with your silver. It's a gift. But he saw something. You know what I mean? So we can't be afraid of praying in tongues. We can't be afraid of exalting in God, or we can't be afraid of crying. And our Alpha Holy Spirit Day, when Judy and Stephen and Sherry did that, we prayed for Judy, and she started crying, which to me wasn't a big deal, but then I looked at Stephen and Sherry, and they were like astonished. They're like, oh. So then when we're done, I'm like, hey, like, what's going on? She goes, Sherry said, my mom never cries. I've never seen my mom cry my whole life. But the Holy Spirit changed her, touched her. Paul said, don't get drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, or be filled continually. How many, have you ever been in a meeting where they prayed for someone and like the Holy Spirit came on them and they fell down? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me a few times. And it's I can't explain it, but it just, the Holy Spirit comes on you and it's an overwhelming sensation. All right, this is a funny aside. One time, at Tree of Life Church, was a big guy in our church. He was like 6'4", like 280. And then there was a smaller guy named Matt Parks who was like 5'8", and 110 pounds. And we were praying for the big guy, Malachi. And he was kind of like, sometimes people kind of get waving like that. And Matt Parks was like trying to get behind him to like help him go down. We're like, no, Matt, no, you're going to like get crushed. It was just funny. The thing is, people often fall down. They don't get hurt. You know, it's just a remarkable kind of thing. All right, last point. Last 2 points. There is no junior Holy Spirit. We were praying Friday. Abel, Ed, myself, and a friend of ours, Kate. And Kate was praying, Lord, show people there's no junior Holy Spirit. Right? Do you know what she means by that? Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Okay? It's not like a smaller Spirit, like we get a little dose or something. It's like the same Spirit. And that's inspiring for us to pray. So, Wei, if you could come up, you know, we're going to pray for a few minutes now, and then we'll take a break. I just want to give us a chance to respond. Number 8, the last point, no one deserves the Spirit. We simply ask for a promised gift. Many times we can have, like, doubts, like, oh, God won't do that for me. But what does Jesus say? Everyone who asks, what? Receives. We have fears, like, oh, my gosh, what'll happen to me? I had those kind of fears, right? Jesus said, well, if your son asks for bread, you don't give him a rock. Do you think God's going to give you something bad? He's saying, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask. We are unworthy. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus was glorified, crucified, and raised from the dead. We're unworthy people who get a great gift. So, Father, we want to pray. Thank you, Lord. All right. If you feel, I know, especially stirred, like, Lord, I really, you know, want something, power, touch from you, why don't you stand right now? Okay. And then, so let's just open our hands to the Lord. And there's a very simple prayer. It's, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Do something new in me. Come, Holy Spirit. Empower me. Hallelujah. Lord, we open our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, do a new work in me. Hallelujah. So receive. Just receive right now. Just open your hearts. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, let there be an empowering in your people according to your word today. Let there be an empowering according to your word. Holy Spirit, come. Let things shift in our lives. Let us be like Evan was the other day, like, wow, something happened. I didn't realize it. Hallelujah. Let the gifts come forward in us. Praise to you. Tongues, personal prayer language. Words of knowledge. Lord, we want to be open and useful vessels. Praise you. Let's go ahead and sing that song, Wade.